John Michael Greer, who describes himself as an historian of ideas, which I think may just be a fancy way of saying he's a really smart and entertaining person. He is the author of 30 books, including The Wealth of Nature, and one which is in the pipeline right now called After Progress, which I'm very much looking forward to. Some of his already in print books are available on the table outside. He's also the author of The Arch Druid Report, which is a weekly blog that if you haven't read, I would highly recommend you tune in to John's weekly newsletter. So happy to introduce John Michael Greer.
Pseudo-deity of all, the one that's become the focus of most people's progress, most people's progress. I've come to think, I mean that quite literally, I've come to think that belief in progress is the unacknowledged, established religion of the modern industrial world. Once something gets labeled as progress, people by and large stop thinking. They stop asking hard questions. They just bow down and worship. And one of the hard questions they don't ask is, just what makes a given change count as progress? What is it that assigns one thing the coveted titles of progressive, advanced, the wave of the future, and labels something else regressive, backwards, primitive? Social, cultural, technological changes don't come with those labels pre-printed on them. How do they get assigned? There are two answers to that question, and both of them have something to teach. The first is very straightforward. What determines that thing A is progressive and thing B is not is politics. There are always projects vying for funding. There are always power holders who are looking for gimmicks to secure influence and wealth for themselves. The result is that this project gets defined as the next step in the glorious onward march of progress, and that one doesn't, purely because somebody's interests are advanced by the first and not by the second. I'm old enough, for example, to remember when supersonic transports were the wave of the future. Then their backers got outmaneuvered in the ongoing scrimmage at the government feed trough. The public refused to support the technology, and oops, they weren't the wave of the future after all. Roll out the next future. If this suggests to you that there's something distinctly arbitrary about what gets enshrined as progress, well, yes, that's what it suggests to me also. Let's stop here and notice what this implies about the old saw, you can't stop progress. If supersonic transports were progress, and certainly that's what the backers said at the time, why, yes, you can stop progress. That's why we don't have to put up with the environmental impacts of supersonic transports just now. Since the word progress is nothing more than a label for whatever happens to get funding, when somebody says, you can't stop progress, what they're actually saying is, don't you dare stop progress because my interests are at stake. So, progress is political. But there's another side to the question. You can trace it right there in the basic meaning of the word. What does progress mean when it's not applied to technology or society? When it's stripped of its pseudo-divine drag and stands there blushing in etymological nakedness? It means continued movement in the same direction. Progress means going further in the direction you're already going. It means doing what you've always done. These days, increasingly, it means doing the same thing you've always done, but expecting a different result, which, as many of you doubtless know, is a good working definition of insanity. There's a reason, in other words, why much of what gets proclaimed as progress these days actually and inevitably makes things worse. It's called the law of diminishing returns. What that law says, basically, is that as you proceed with any activity, the relationship between costs and benefits does not remain the same as it was when you started. Sooner or later, you pass the point of diminishing returns, and your benefit for a unit cost starts to decrease. After that, you pass the point of zero marginal return, and additional benefits don't add anything. Additional expenditures don't add anything to the benefit you get. And after that, additional expenditure yields a negative marginal return. That's what is called a loss in plain English. In simpler terms, first you spend more and get less, then you spend more and get nothing. And finally, you spend more and lose. If you watch the progress of technology in recent decades, this may seem very familiar. Now, the law of diminishing returns is a principle with extraordinarily wide application. It applies to scientific research. It applies to drilling for oil. It applies to knocking back beers. I promise you, the 15th beer is not going to do you as much good as the ones that came before it. And anything else you care to name. But the heart and soul of our modern faith in progress is that it doesn't apply to progress. To believers in progress, if a little is good, a lot is better, and too much is best of all. If technology causes problems, why then the solution is more technology. And if that causes bigger problems, hey, we need more technology still. Whatever the question, technology is the only answer they're willing to think about. Now, most of us found out at some point in our adolescence that there is, in fact, such a thing as drinking too much beer. Most of us have noticed that the same principle applies to pretty much everything else, too. Our cultural biases insist that it can't apply to progress, but I think it's time to say stop right there. Let's actually look at the costs and benefits. And let's be very clear what we mean here. By progress, I don't mean some vague sense of betterment variables not defined. I mean doing more of what we've been doing the last 300 years, that is to say, turning everything into an excuse to build more machines. As I think we've all started to notice, that's not working too well. From anthropogenic climate change to peak oil to the rest of the long list of troubles we're facing, all of them are either caused or worsened by technology, by the consequences of what the conventional wisdom called progress. Anthropogenic climate change that comes out of our tailpipes and smokestacks. Peak oil would be zero problem if our technostructure didn't depend on it, and so on down the list. As Theodore Rosak pointed out a good long time ago, we haven't gotten to the brink of planetary catastrophe by accident. Nobody dragged us here. We've progressed here. And all we need now is one more round of progress to shove us over the edge like lemmings in a Disney nature film. Thus, I'd like to suggest that technological progress, doing more of what we've been doing for the last 300 years, has passed the point of negative returns. On the average, that is, every new technology we deploy, every further step in the so-called march of progress, costs more, accomplishes less, and causes more problems than it solves. So we don't need more technology, we need less technology. That doesn't mean no technology at all. It's a standard red herring to say, well, if you don't want to deal with this latest snazzy thing, you want everyone to go back to the caves. We've all heard that, right? Is this nonsense? Yes, Socrates, this is nonsense. We're talking about asking the hard questions about technology that the conventional wisdom refuses to ask. We need technologies, but we need wiser technologies that recognize the limits of a fragile planet. Technologies that progress in the opposite direction from today's techno-utopian fantasies. One thing I'd point out about these wiser technologies is they're within reach. They are, by and large, simpler than our existing technologies. They're much more efficient in their use of energy and resources. A great many of them already exist. In fact, people have been working on them since the 19th century, though most people have not been taught about that. They don't require unspecified scientific breakthroughs. What they require is the willingness to recognize that, as Einstein said, we can't solve a problem by the same thinking that got us into it. And by the way, we can't maintain the lifestyles that depend on making the problem worse. Now, there's one other thing that is required here, which is a willingness to recognize just how empty the promises are that the techno-utopians are making. I mean, you've already heard various discussion of various techno-utopian claims. You'll hear a lot more in the rest of this weekend. All of those claims presuppose that the law of diminishing returns doesn't apply to whatever technology we have in mind here. That we can expect all the breakthroughs we want just because we happen to want them. And I'd like to suggest that there's an agenda behind those frankly improbable claims. Like the jetpacks and the flying cars, they offer pretty daydreams of better living through technology to distract people who might otherwise make a different world for themselves. Look at what's actually happened over the decades when we were supposed to be getting those jetpacks and domed cities. What actually happened is that the standard of living for the vast majority of Americans has dropped like a rock. When I was a boy, an American family on one working class income could by and large afford to buy a home and a car and pay all their bills. Nowadays, an American family on one working class income is probably living on the street. The future we got wasn't the future we were promised. And this latest round of plastic Tomorrowland is more of the same. Another round of nano bread and cyber circuses to keep the rabble quiet. It's working too. Look at us. We're spending most of this weekend talking about their agenda, not about ours. So they they've already taken the first round. But behind the glossy photoshopped images of a future that's never going to arrive, it's just more of the same. More impoverishment, more environmental degradation, more broken promises to put on the shelf alongside the jetpack future we never got. We can do better than that. Frankly, we have to do better than that. And one of the first steps to doing that, it seems to me, is to recognize that there's nothing inevitable about the techno-utopian agenda. Quite the contrary, if we've learned anything from the last 7 decades, it's that grandiose technological fantasies proclaimed as the inevitable wave of the future generally end up in history's dumpster. we can expect the nanotechnology, the biotechnology, all the stuff that's being babbled about now, and don't even get me talking about the singularity. All of it, into the dumpster right next to the jetpacks. It's important to critique the current route of fantasies, but it's even more important to remember that we can take another route. We can progress in a different direction. Each of us, and all of us, toward the simpler, wiser, more sustainable technologies we need to help us reach a future worth having. Thank you.